Earth, sky.
We are the 7 billion people living in the world. That means that the imams in Somalia have to do their part. They have to realize that family planning has to be there. And Bill and Melinda Gates are giving their part. They are giving part of their wealth away to provide vaccination for the children. It is when all these things come together, then when we see this magnificent change.
You're listening to Dr. Hans Rosling, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Rosling is a statistician and global health expert at Sweden's Karolinska Institute. He thinks about and talks about numbers. For example, the number of people on Earth, expected to reach 9 billion by 2050. But he said while some numbers about Earth today reflect an overwhelming reality, some reveal a hopeful future. Dr. Rosling spoke to Earth Sky's Beth Lebwohl.
So statistics represent real people. What are the top statistics about population growth? Who do they represent and what do they show?
I mean, the most important is the young couple deciding on how many children they should have. I used to call it pillow talk that runs the world. Is the young couple whisper into each other's ears, we shall have 2 children, and they shall have shoes and instruments and a football, and they should be able to go to the beach with us. That's the sort of modern thinking. Or there's no talking in the bedroom and you get as many kids as you get. I mean, this is the basic thing. The second thing is, what sort of life are these children getting? Are they getting safe water, good food, a protected environment, you know, vaccination and health service, so they don't die, they grow up? Those are the 2 important things. How many children are born and how do they survive?
Now, you've argued that the world can best curb population growth, which is now approaching 9 billion, if we raise standards for the world's poor. Did statistics lead you to this conclusion, and which ones, if so?
No, it's research done on fertility determinants. And I don't argue, it is sort of established fact today. We have seen Bangladesh, for instance, that at quite a poverty level and relatively low literacy in women, Bangladesh is now down to 2.5 children per woman. It's a miracle that has happened. Over the last 30, 40 years, they've gone from 7 children per woman to 2.5. And that does coincide with more education, with much better survival of the children. So we know that this can happen. And it's better water provision, it's vaccination, it's all those better things of life.
Do statistics also tell us exactly how we, that abstract we can raise standards for the world's poor?
We are the 7 billion people living in the world. That means that the imams in Somalia have to do their part. They have to realize that family planning has to be there. And Bill and Melinda Gates are giving their part. They are giving part of their wealth away to provide vaccination for the children in Somalia. So everyone has to do their part. Bangladesh was successful because the local community with the imams in the mosque, they argued for family planning. The government did their part. The international aid did their part. And Bangladesh was successful in trade, managed to sell T-shirts across the world and provided employment for young women and a hope for a better life. It is when all these things come together, then when we see this magnificent change. And I would like to emphasize that the number of children per woman has fallen faster in Bangladesh, Indonesia, Egypt, and Brazil than they ever did in Sweden.
And why is that?
Because today we have more knowledge and more technology. We know how we can improve children's life with better nutrition, good breastfeeding, vaccines exist, penicillin exists, and we can treat children and we can prevent their diseases. And we have family planning technology.
You keep talking about technology. Exactly what technology are you referring to?
The pill. The loop, the way you can regulate the number of children you get without having to change decrease your sexual intercourses. I mean, it's a family planning technology, even to have cheap condoms. And it's very important, we've seen in all countries, that we don't provide one technology for everyone. For some couple, the pill is good. For others, the condom is good. They have to choose.
Tell me, what is, and I really haven't asked you the obvious question, what is global population today? How many people are there on Earth, as far as you know?
It's almost 7 billion. We are 6.8 billion. And how uncertain it is, it's less than plus minus half a billion. It's some hundreds of millions we don't know, but more or less we know it. And we also know that we will keep growing. And we will keep growing for two reasons. First, that we still have the very poorest people that still get 4 to 6 children per woman. That is number one reason. Number two reason is like a country like Vietnam or Brazil or Iran, that today have 2 children per woman, they still don't have filled up the group of middle-aged and old people. So from the year a country gets 2 children per woman, the population continue to grow for another 40 to 50 years.
It will take 20 years for us, or 30 years, for us to see the real results of population decrease or population increase at the bottom of the pyramid?
You are right. When we achieve 2-child families based on all children surviving, then we will continue to grow for another 40 years until they stop. But we also have another component. Some countries are shrinking. Russia is shrinking at present. Russia have not so good health for the old people, and they only get 1.5 child per woman, so they are shrinking. And we thought that would happen with many rich countries, whereas Sweden and the welfare societies in West Europe, they are increasing. Sweden are now getting more and more children per woman for each year, slowly but steadily. So we will have different changes. And when we take everything together, we know that it's unavoidable that we become an additional 2 billion people in the world. There's no way we can stop population growth before 2050, and then we will be at least 9 billion. But mind you, the additional population growth is just an addition of little more than 30%. Whereas the need of energy for decent life for all family with electricity and a decent house with the plumbing, that's an additional 300% of energy use. So the big challenge in the future is not the number of people, it is the basic welfare of the families with decent housing, water and electricity. That's the demand on the environment.
What's the most important thing you'd like to tell EarthSky's global audience about your work on statistics?
The most important is that the future of the world doesn't depend on one thing. Often we tend to discuss, climate change is bigger than everything else. Population growth is bigger than everything else. Security to control the terrorists is bigger than everything else. We have to do several things at the same time to have a good world in the future. And we need to understand the magnitude of these challenges. Because in the end, we are saying that in Sweden, the future of Sweden doesn't depend on what happens in Sweden. It depends on what happens in the world.
You've been listening to Dr. Hans Rosling, professor of global health at Sweden's Karolinska Institute. Rosling is also founder of Gapminder Foundation, a Stockholm-based think tank that aims to show the world's most important trends through what he calls the beauty of statistics. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.